It's episode 467 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. The Astros are mad, and a former Ranger did some real damage to the Astros in the playoffs to keep the Chicago White Sox hopes alive. That all that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get started.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today with episode 467 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. We are in full swing of the playoffs, all kinds of good, fun stuff happening. And I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. Now, there are a few little small newsy bits to get to that happened this weekend that, or I guess the past week that I hadn't really talked about because they weren't really all that, all that notable. But, I want to get to them because, you know, if I don't get to them now, then it'll just be tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And then by then we'll forget about them. So here are some little newsy bits that have been happening around the Rangers as of the last week or so. Cole Winn has been selected as the AA Central Player of the Year, AKA the Texas League. I hope they go back to calling it the Texas League next year. Like, that's what it is. I know it's kind of weird because, you know, half the teams don't play in Texas, half them play in either Arkansas or Oklahoma, but it's still the Texas League. It makes more sense than the Central League, but whatever. Winn and Bubba Thompson were both selected as to the league's postseason all-star team, in case you forgot or didn't know. Minor league season is so long and most players spend time, you know, about half in one league and half the season in the other league. They have two different all-star teams. Only one gets to play an actual all-star game at the midseason, but good on those guys. Well-deserved year. Bubba Thompson had a great year, as well as Cole Winn, who finished his season in the AAA level. But Bubba Thompson had a big season as well. Guy who I really liked for a long time. I like what I saw this year. Started making some progress. A former first-round pick in 2017 out of McGill Toulon Catholic High School in Mobile, Alabama. Still got that Bama accent. Love me some Bama boys. Watch some sad Bama football this weekend. I don't want to talk about it. That's why I'm wearing a Washington football shirt, because I know what pain is. But anyway, Bubba Thompson had a great year this year. All his games were at the Texas League, 104 games, 470 plate appearances. The man had 16 home runs on the season, 9 triples. Yeah, that's right, 9 triples and 23 doubles. Hit 275 with an on base, 325. Yeah, solid improvement for him this year in that regard. And an OPS of 808. That is solid given his defense is absolutely elite. As you can see with the 9 triples, he has some great base running instincts and is really quite fast on the base pass. To mention it this year, 25 stolen bases and 8 caught stealing. The home run number is significant because it is double the amount of home runs he had had, the most home runs he had had in a season, which again came back when he was 20 in Hickory in the low A level. But that was still in 84 games. He had 8 home runs that year in 84 games. Granted, now he had 16 in 104 games. The power is starting to show itself a little bit more. Did have 121 strikeouts to just 29 walks. So that number is not great. But again, he's facing double A pitching for the first time. So I'm okay with it because there was progress there. There's pitch recognition there. The power and speed and defense, those are all legit. His arm is legit. He had was going to walk on to play quarterback at the University of Alabama, but decided, you know, getting that first round pick money and going and playing baseball was his best option. And it's looking like that was the right call. Really loved what I've seen from him this season, and going to love seeing him next year. He's definitely not going to start the season at the major league level next year. I think he might need a little more time in double A, or they might start him in triple A and try and challenge him. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do with him, but anyway, he had a great season, and congrats to you, Bubba Thompson. That is a well-deserved all-star appearance and a great year. The Rangers team award recipients, as selected by the DFW Baseball Writers Association of America, the player and rookie of the year is Adolis Garcia, pitcher of the year, Dane Dunning, Harold McKinney, Good Guy Award, Jose Trevino, Richard Trevino, Richard Durrett Hardest Working Man Award goes to Taylor Hearn. All of those are well-deserved. Great choices by the baseball, DFW baseball media. And by the way, Adolis is the first player in team history to be named Rangers Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year in the same season. So good on him. A few different roster moves that were happening. The Rangers have claimed right-handed pitcher Edward Kalina on waivers from Minnesota. He was on the Twins 60-day IL after missing all of 2021 after a right elbow surgery. He goes on Texas 60-day IL. Wes Benjamin was DFA'd on October 3rd and has been outright sent to waivers or cleared waivers and been sent to AAA. Some other minor league news. Hickory first baseman Blaine Crim has been selected to the 2021 High A East Down East postseason All-Star team. Or I guess High A East All-Star team after batting 300 with 20 home runs and a 931 OPS. He's a guy definitely to watch out for, who I think will get probably starting in Double A next year. So we'll be able to get a little bit of some eyes on him. Also, Down East first baseman Dustin Harris and Luis Angel Acuña have been named to minor league baseball's Low A East postseason All-Star team. So good on them as well. Also, on October 9th, Mike Foltynewicz and Hunter Wood and Jason Martin all elected free agency after clearing outright waivers. Major league roster is at 38. And Wood has been on the 60-day IL after being injured much earlier this season. So, yeah, Mike Foltynewicz probably not going to be a part of this rotation moving forward. We thank you for your service time and for eating some innings and keeping the workload off of, you know, AAA arms that weren't quite ready to be called up yet and some prospects we didn't want to rush too quickly. So, honestly, like, not what we were expecting, not what I was hoping from Mike Foltynewicz, but still – a valuable season nonetheless. Was he regaining his All-Star form? No. But even pitchers who don't pitch super well, who are consistent and can consistently eat innings on rebuilding team, they are valuable. Don't think he's going to be with the team next year because there's a lot of guys they want to get some time to, as you saw at the end of the season, that they wanted to get a lot of innings for these guys. But yeah, that is all the Rangers newsy bits for this weekend and basically the last week. I don't anticipate we're going to have much more news besides postseason news or roster development for the next few days. I might be wrong. There might be the odd, you know, newsy bit here or there, but I think that it's going to be all quiet on that front for just a little bit. So I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, look a little bit at why the Astros are mad and why a former Ranger is doing damage to them. Coming up right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love, but without the hassle. It's a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Now, this might have been my favorite postseason game that's happened so far. There were a lot of really good postseason games this weekend. I'm going to talk a little bit about them. But this is the main one that happened because it's mainly because the Astros were mad. And, you know, anytime the Astros are mad, sad, and or feeling some kind of negative emotion, my heart gets a little bit of a smile because I'm petty and they deserve nothing but sadness and anger and vitriol directed their way. And credit to the White Sox. They are doing it. White Sox fans are staying faithful, even when the times are looking very, very tough. Now, the White Sox took a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first inning, but Houston's bats just came roaring back. Three runs for Houston in the top of the second. Then they built that lead up to 5-1 in the top of the third inning. But Chicago White Sox, who hadn't had an extra base hit all series, they absolutely came roaring back in the bottom of the third inning with five runs to take a 6-5 lead. Astros tied it back up in the top of the fourth inning, and then Chicago White Sox come back and drop a three spot in the bottom of the fourth inning. This was just an absolute back and forth battle. And then after that, the White Sox bullpen is really stinking good. It's so good. By the way, the bottom of that third inning, it started with a Yasmani Grandal home run with that scored Luis Robert. Larry Garcia hit a ball. This man, if you don't remember Larry Garcia, here's the scouting profile on him. Man's fast, plays defense everywhere, less than no power. Less than no power. I saw scouts give him a literal 20 on a scale of 1 to 80 on potential future power. But that man came up with the longest home run he's probably ever hit in his gosh darn life. And he came up with it in a big, big moment. It was a three-run jack that was just an absolute beauty to behold. Just absolutely beautiful. It scored Yoan Moncada and Gavin Sheets as well. Just absolutely gorgeous on a, what was this? 96.2 mile an hour fastball. To his credit, dead center, and did not miss it. But Jose Abreu was able to single and give the White Sox a 7-6 lead. And then Yasmani Grandal, this is the play that the Astros are the most mad about. Yasmani Grandal is running to first base. He hits a ball to the first baseman. And, you know, he's a left-handed batter, so he's coming out of the box. Or he's a switch hitter, but he was hitting left-handed. And he's coming out of the box. He's a little bit closer to the line, like towards the inside, towards the first baseline. And so the thought is you have to establish a baseline of like where your running lane line is. So like when runners are going from like second to third or first to second, usually not home to first. That's not usually a thing. They can't run like 18 miles outside the baseline that they've established. Like that fun Adrian Beltre play that was definitely illegal when he just ran all the way into left field instead of going to third base where the third baseman had the ball. He just ran away, and that's why he was out. The Astros are mad because there was a runner on third base, runner on first and third base on the corners, I think, at that point. And a double play, I believe, would have ended the inning at that point. So runner Luis Robert is on third base. He comes in. It's going to be a really close play at the plate. The first baseman makes the throw. And Yasmani Grandal is about like, I don't know, 18 inches inside off like the actual baseline where like the white chalk is. It's like totally within his rights. And I didn't think anything of it when I first saw it. And then the ball comes home and I think, oh no, that's a good throw. That is a great play. He's absolutely out at home. And then the ball gets away. I thought, wait, that throw looked on the money. It's less than 90 feet. How did that play go so offline? And then you see the replay, and Yasmani Grandal is running, and the ball is coming at him. It looks like he's running straight at the first baseman, and the ball is coming at him. He tries to get out of the way, not very hard, just kind of moves his shoulder, and he can't get out of the way. And the ball hits off his shoulder and gets past the catcher, and the runner is allowed to score, and then they would go on to score one more run in that inning when Eloy Jimenez was able to single on a soft ground ball to Alex Bregman and score Jose Abreu. So that was a key moment, and the Astros are also mad about a ball and strike call, of course, because traditionally, the Astros have totally been hosed. They have no one else has been hosed so badly by, you know, Major League Baseball or umpires or just anything just going so unfairly. You know, these poor Astros, these poor downtrodden guys that all these people just don't like them because they're just jealous of the Astros. No, they hate you because you are part of the worst cheating scandal of sports in my lifetime. The most egregious, the least penalized cheating scandal. Honestly, it felt like Tom Brady and the Patriots were more punished for deflating balls than these guys were for this. SMU football was punished a lot more for actually paying, like significantly 1,800 times more for paying football recruits to come and play football for their school. All these other things that have been dealt out significantly more punishment. And you expect to just come in and everyone be like, yeah, that's cool. No, they were cool with the Astros. That's fine. We're not mad about that at all. It's fine. No, we're not fine about it. We haven't forgotten. And Major League Baseball honestly did them a disservice, which, you know, I have mixed feelings on if I actually wanted them to punish them harder or not. But by not punishing the players at all, it means that fans are going to hold this against every single member of that 2017 roster. Every single one of them, except for the whistleblower. They're just going to hold against them forever. And they're probably never going to get to live this down, which is the main reason I don't want Carlos Correa, because I don't want anyone associated with this garbage team. But it continued to get spicy after this. I'm going to take a quick break and we come back, talk a little bit about some of the White Sox comments and why Dusty Baker feels that they were done wrong. Coming up right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You know, the Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There's something for literally everyone. They're fantastic. They're delicious. They are diverse. They have all kinds of range. Like, it's unbelievable range that Built Bar has. They got flavors like coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, orange, strawberry, cookies and cream, German chocolate. They're all fantastic. They're so, so good. And they're also super healthy for you. 17, 18 grams of protein in most bars, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. There's all these amazing flavors. They're all tasty and they're all healthy. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off of your order. Now, Dusty Baker was not happy about this, at all. He thought that Yasmani Grandal was, you know, totally intentionally going in and trying to get hit by the baseball. And there was another weird rules thing with a extra innings the extra innings game in Boston that I'm not even going to get into. But basically, it was not really a challengeable play. And also, by every definition of what the umpires explained afterwards, which, you know, I have long said all umpires are great, especially these umpires. They're always doing a great job. I've never had any complaints with them at all. but they said that it doesn't matter, that play is not applicable to if a ball hits him. It's more applicable to him trying to base runner trying to get out of a tag from going home to first. So if he's running like a little bit, and it wasn't egregious. I didn't even notice at first. Not that it's something you would really notice. Like, looking at the replay after like 3 or 4 times, you're like, huh, you know what? He is kind of, you know, inside there. He is kind of running, you know, a little closer to being in between where the first baseman is throwing home. And, you know, maybe he did it intentionally. I don't know. It's entirely possible. But the rules say basically that there was nothing that they could have done about it. And the Astros have gotten away with so much that, like, just shut up. Dusty Baker, this is ruining your reputation. I don't know why he took this job other than to, you know, try and win a championship, because this is a good roster. And it's frustrating it is to admit that. And he is a good manager, and he deserves – I don't think he's gotten a ring as a manager. And he has had many great teams, been a manager of many great teams for a great – you know, a long, long time, and he's been great. And there are so few black managers in Major League Baseball that just having a black manager is such a huge step. There's so few black managers in the entire sport, like top to bottom. Minor League Baseball, not a whole lot of black managers. Dusty Baker is one of, if not the greatest black manager in the history of Major League Baseball. So I was glad to have him be, you know, back and have a role that he has excelled at many different places. But it's so frustrating, because it felt like they brought him in to be kind of a scapegoat and just be like, oh no, I'm Dusty Baker, everybody loves me, like, so you can't hate the Astros anymore. Like, I'm sorry, Dusty, I still love Dusty Baker. I love him a lot less after him being with the Astros, and, you know, especially last year with the, you know, we've changed, we're better, take us back. Why is everyone mad? You can't still be mad. Like, it's totally not cool if you be mad. Sorry, Dusty, we're still mad. Everyone's still mad. They're going to be mad for a long time until there's some actual repercussions that, you know, feel appropriate. Getting your manager barred from the sport for a year, that's not enough, because he's already back managing with the Tigers. Literally after 1 year, their former bench coach, who is with the Red Sox, Alex Cora, he was gone for a year, immediately came back to the exact same job that he was in. GM is barred and from the sport for, I believe it was just a year, sanctions like everybody else. They lost one first round pick, which, you know, I believe was in the 20s because they had a good regular season that year. So like none of these punishments were really that bad. The only person who really suffered, the only person who was a player at the time, you know, was Carlos Beltran, and he was denied. He was, you know, unhired from the Mets managerial job because of the fallout of this, which, like, I don't know. It's just, it all feels so murky and so annoying. And a White Sox reliever who I honestly don't, I can't remember his name because, you know, he's done so little for the White Sox. Just in general, a left-hand reliever. That is what I know about him. Not Aaron Bummer. But anyway, I think it was Tepera was the guy, Ryan Tepera. Yes, from Houston, Texas, actually, born in Houston, Texas, went to college at Sam Houston, was saying that, you know, it's wild how they were swinging, missing so much at the relievers in the game and their first game on the road. It was wild how much they seemed like they didn't know what was coming as opposed to at Minute Maid Park, which, like, huge fight in works, huge fight in words. And so they've been known for doing some sketchy stuff like that, which, oh God, chef's kiss. And the Astros were like, no, we only cheated that one time in 2007 in 2000, whatever year they actually admitted that they were doing it when they were just completely caught. And we totally stopped right after that. We didn't wait until you caught us. No, why would we? No, of course we stopped immediately. We just did the 1 year and you happened to find out about it. Like, no. But they did have one of the lowest chase rates, the lowest swing and miss rates in Major League Baseball. I believe it was under 5%. And it was about the same on the road. So, like, the stats don't bring it up. But for spiciness's sake, for hating the Astros' sake, I'll allow it. Yeah. They're totally back to their cheating ways, which I don't know. They might be. It's entirely possible. The numbers, that they're also just a really good baseball team, and that's really frustrating to admit and to watch. So they might not be cheating. They might just be good, but it's entirely possible. And you know, there hasn't been nearly enough like spite and hatred in baseball playoffs. I mean, we did get a wild card game of Yankees Red Sox, which was fun to have the little one winner take all game, but like, I love the spiciness. I love the hatred. I love the shade throwing. The White Sox are throwing a lot of shade. The Astros are probably going to throw it right back. I'm very angry that we didn't get that game today. The game three, Chicago White Sox fans made game four. The White Sox fan made game three a blackout. They came in with all of their black, where everyone was wearing black, and they made it very dark and very intimidating for the Astros, chanting, I believe, very not nice things at them. Antonio La Russa was asked to comment about that. He said, this is America. They can chant fire Tony La Russa for all I care, which, you know, I'm sure they've wanted to at some points, but, and as much as I don't think that he should have a job because of the multiple drinking and driving incidents that he's been very publicly involved with, claiming I'm a very important baseball man, which, you know, out of context is a really funny quote. In context is, this guy should not be given an opportunity and seem like the wrong guy for the job. And if they end up only winning the one game, then it'll feel like a failure for him, a guy of his, you know, standing. But he's done a fine enough job. Lance Lynn getting beat up by the Astros in, you know, his last several games in Houston might mean that he needs to go into the bullpen just for this game. It's a bad matchup. They hit fastballs really well. He throws almost entirely fastballs. So don't know if that's the best matchup for him. But this White Sox bullpen was so stinking good. Michael Kopech threw 2 1/3 innings. He did give up 3 runs, but he struck out 5 Astros in 2 1/3 innings. That is incredibly difficult to do. Ryan Tepera had 3 strikeouts in 2 innings. Aaron Bummer, the lefty, had 4 strikeouts. 4 of his 5 outs were strikeouts. 4 of the 5 batters that he faced were strikeouts. I believe the other one was a ground out and looked absolutely dominant. Craig Kimbrell came in, got 1 out. Hendricks came in and got a perfect 9th inning, which was no longer a save because they blew it wide, wide open by scoring 3 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning. to make it a 12-6 game. Fantastic game, fantastic series. Baseball has been absolutely bonkers. There were some great games from Rays and Red Sox. I was out of town this weekend, so I didn't get to watch that much of them. But it's been more even than I anticipated it being. Even with Eovaldi only going five innings, and this one they looked good. They have a chance to win the series. With their third win, they are up 2-1. They have a chance to win it on a Boston Marathon Day, which would be really cool for the city of Boston. Really bad for my picks because the team that I picked to lose the wild card game will be going to the ALCS. And you know what? My picks already pretty much, you know, shot to poo. I guess really that's the only one that's been absolutely wrong, was that one wild card game. I did get the other wild card game right. And, you know, it's just been good playoff baseball. I've missed playoff baseball. It's been a lot of fun. Give me more butthurt Houston. Give me more Chicago White Sox fans chanting Sox in six, even after going down 2-0. Coming back and reverse sweeping the Astros would be the perfect way to make me look like an absolute genius after making me look very stupid the first two games of picking the White Sox to win the World Series. They definitely got the team to do it. All these teams that are still left in here are fantastic, and I am going to watch as much playoff baseball as is humanly possible, and I hope you are able to do the exact same thing, because before we know it, baseball season is going to be over, and we're going to be, you know, pining for those times. And we'll have some basketball and some hockey, which will be great and fun, but it's not baseball. And I'm not quite to the point where I miss the 2021 Texas Rangers or just any Texas Rangers at all, besides the obvious Joey Gallo. But, you know, come like a day after, literally the day after the World Series is done every year, the existential, oh my God, it's going to be so long until I get to see some actual baseball. I'm so sad. It hits every time without fail. Have a postseason where I'm like, all right, great. Baseball is so much fun. I can forget about the pain the Rangers have caused me and just enjoy some baseball, as can all of you Rangers fans. I mean, unless, you know, you're too hurt from baseball and you're already just, all right, I'm out. It's just football and other sports time. That's fine. No judgment here. But I'm very much looking forward to the rest of this playoffs, because it should be a lot of fun, and it should be even more fun if the Astros go up 2-0 and then get reverse swept by the White Sox in the very first round. But thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back with some guests, hopefully tomorrow. Javi Reyes of Locked On Padres. I'm supposed to get him a couple times, but Javi, get your crap together so we can record tomorrow. Hopefully an episode with Grant later this week, and maybe another guest or two. We'll see, but that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On Rangers. Thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy some playoff baseball, and don't forget to hate a little bit on the Houston Astros.